Hi, I'm Katie Crosby, and when I'm not contributing to the New Orleans region in my charitable work and as chair of Fidelity Bank, I'm listening to the Power Plug podcast.
Are you a woman ready to charge up her business? You're in the right place. This is the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank, where we believe in your POWER, the potential of women entrepreneurs realized, and all women with an entrepreneurial spirit. Each episode is filled with practical advice, tools, and tips to help you build your business and keep you energized. Now, for your host, Mary Foley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Mary Foley here. It's great to be with you again. When you see a super successful woman in business, do you ever think, how did she get there? I know I sure do, because I know that no matter how successful, every person has a story that's filled with ups and downs and overs, and it's in understanding their journey that there's insight and inspiration for us. And that's why I'm excited about today's guest. But first, have you subscribed yet to the Power Plug podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher? If not, it's spring, so hop to it. Seriously, it's so easy and so handy to keep up on the latest episodes or to binge listen. To subscribe, either go to fidelitybankpower.com and click on Power Podcast that's listed under the Find Your Power tab, or you can start with your phone and look up the right phone app. If you have an iPhone, you download the Apple Podcast app. And if you have an Android phone, go to Google Play and download the Stitcher app. And then you open the app, you search for Power Plug by Fidelity, and then boom, you are ready to go. Now let's get talking with today's guest. Today we're talking with Katie Crosby. Katie is the first female director of Fidelity Bank. Yep, the very bank that makes this podcast and the Power Program possible. Her great-grandfather, Alan C. Andre Sr., was one of the original founders of Fidelity. And in 2010, Katie was named chairman of the board of Fidelity. But being in banking, let alone being chair, wasn't where she was originally headed. And we're going to find out more how that all happened. In 2011, New Orleans Magazine recognized Katie as one of the 10 top female achievers, and the Young Leadership Council gave her the Role Model Award. Katie's commitment to the New Orleans community is evident in her nonprofit leadership for the past 20 years in area organizations such as Junior League and the Poitras Home, Children's Hospital, and Habitat for Humanity. Like I said, when you see a super successful woman in business, you wonder, how did she do it? Well, we're about to find out. Katie, welcome to the Power Plug podcast.
Good morning, Mary. Thank you.
I am so glad you're here, and I want to dive right in. You know, Katie, today you're at the top of the game, of your game. You're chair of Fidelity Bank. You serve on numerous nonprofit boards that directly impact people's health and home. Plus, you've been recognized with community awards for your leadership and your impact. So many women in business want to know, just how does it feel to be at the top?
It feels great. It's exhilarating. It's always interesting. Sometimes it's exhausting. But it really has been a fascinating journey for me to be able to participate and be board chair at Fidelity Bank, and also to participate in fabulous nonprofit organizations that improve this community. And I've enjoyed the ride thoroughly.
Well, that is something to be said, to enjoy the ride. And it sounds from your voice that it's a great place to be. And it's always good to know that, you know, when you've reached certain goals and you've really gotten to where you're having that kind of influence that you are, that it just feels good. But I know that's not where everything started. I mean, like anyone, where you are now is not where you first started out. And in 2003, you told me you were a stay-at-home mom and not at all on the track to be chair of Fidelity Bank. So what changed and how did this shift happen?
It is an interesting story, Mary. I followed my father as board chair of the bank. And as a child growing up, he always was involved with the bank. And I remember at the dinner table as a teenager, my dad would come home, and as we all sat together, he would talk about the bank and challenges he was facing or successes, or often about regulators and frustrations with regulatory issues. And as a typical teenager, I often tuned that out.
It sounds boring, doesn't it? Sitting around the table hearing your dad talk about the bank.
Yes. Right? Yes. At the time, it was boring. I wish I had listened more now that I am where I am. But at the time, there was never the expectation that my brothers nor I would be employed at the bank. That was not an automatic for any of us. We were encouraged to go out into the world and seek whatever, you know, was of interest to us. So I went to Vanderbilt and graduated with a business degree, and went off to Washington, D.C. and worked for Lindy Boggs for about 8 months before I got engaged and moved back to New Orleans. And my husband and I were fortunate enough to have three children fairly quickly. And I felt fortunate that I had the opportunity to be a stay-at-home mom. I thoroughly enjoyed being a mom. I loved being involved with my children and their schools, et cetera. So I was happily rocking along in that world. And in 2003, there was a board vacancy at the bank. I wasn't really aware of that even was happening. And as I understand the story, several of our directors approached my father when they were discussing who should fill that vacancy. And several of the directors approached my father and said, "We think Katie would be a good fit." I think part of the reason that they felt that was because, although I was a stay-at-home mom, I was actively involved in volunteering in the community. And one of those involvements had been with the Junior League of New Orleans. I felt passionate about the Junior League and still do, and what they do and what they contribute to the community. They're a women's organization, and I learned a lot in my involvement there. And I had served as treasurer of the Junior League and ultimately as president of the Junior League. And I believe that a number of the directors at Fidelity were aware of that involvement and the leadership, obviously, role that I played there. And so they approached my father when there was this vacancy, and thankfully my father thought it was a good idea. So I was invited to join the board, I believe it was late August of 2003.
And that is a big change. And, you know, change can be exciting, but it also can be kind of scary. So what excited you about moving in this direction? And maybe what are some of the fears you might have had?
I think what's interesting for women, especially women that are in that stay-at-home mother role, your kids do eventually grow up. And so you start to think about, what am I going to do next? I think that it offers a wonderful advantage for women to sort of find a second career past parenthood. Not that ever goes away. I have four grandchildren now. But to really make a change and pursue a passion. I had always enjoyed business. I had always enjoyed numbers. I think I probably got that from my father and grandfather. And I thought this sounded like a really fascinating opportunity. As you mentioned earlier, I was the first female on the board. And I was also younger than the youngest director by probably a good 20 to 25 years. That was a little daunting. And yet many of these men knew me as a baby. So I was entering a room of people that I was familiar with, for the most part, people that I knew. They were incredibly welcoming. I never experienced any prejudice or antagonism from any of our directors. I was very welcomed. But the work I did on my part was to walk into that room very prepared. I read as many trade journals as I could get my hands on. I had those conversations with my dad about what I hadn't heard when I was a teenager, trying to understand the bank and understand what its role in the community was, the products it offered, and what the role of the board really was at the bank. And so I really tried to educate myself so that I walked into those first meetings with a little bit of confidence.
And then, I would think I would want to kind of bone up, so to speak, on all things banking before I walked in there. Did you end up, though, having to do more than that to really get a deep dive into what was how things were working at the bank and what was the current state of affairs?
Well, I asked, and I realize this may have made it awkward for senior management, but I spoke to my father, the board chair at the time, and the CEO at the time, and I said, is it possible to perhaps sit in on, you know, a senior management meeting where you're discussing the bank or strategies? I said it would be really helpful for me to have a better understanding of how things work, because I had not come up through the bank in any sort of traditional manner. And thankfully, the CEO at the time was willing to let that happen on occasion. Obviously, I was not present at the bank all the time. In 2006, in 2005, before Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, I made the decision to go back to school. And Tulane offers a program, an executive MBA program. It's offered by many universities. And I made the decision to pursue my MBA in that manner. And I was about a third of the way through that program when the board elected me to be vice chair of the board, with the intent that when my dad retired, that I would move up to board chair. And once again, I felt like I lacked the real true knowledge to step into that role. I was getting my MBA. Once again, I spoke to my dad and I spoke to the CEO of the bank at the time. And I said, is it possible for me to participate in just a training program at the bank? I'd like to understand all aspects of the bank and how they work together and contribute. At the time, the bank didn't have any training, any specific formalized training program. Once again, the CEO said, okay, come on board and we'll figure out where to put you. What happened then is it was November. And so I walked in my first day, and I think really that our CEO was at a little bit of a loss as to what role I would play. It can be awkward for a CEO to have a board member also be an employee and a direct report. What he did, and I really appreciated at the time, his team was putting together their annual budget and business plan. And I sort of fell into the role of being sort of the editor for that plan. And so it was really a blessing, because in that role, I got to know all the members of senior management, and they would come talk to me and discuss with me the part of the plan that impacted the area that they had oversight over. And so while I didn't actually participate in a training program in a lot of ways, this was my training program, and it really helped me understand the different divisions of the bank and how they all contributed to really the ultimate success of the bank. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah, that actually is a great way to really understand the workings, and from each person's perspective, that one-on-one time with each of them, asking them clarifying questions so you can understand what's happening, but also to be able to create this report, pull it all together. Wow. This is already, not only you've been very real and open, but inspiring, and I really appreciate it. We're not done yet, but we need to take a quick break. So hold on. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Liz Brockman, Director of Power at Fidelity Bank. As a woman going after her dreams, you deserve a bank that's more than a bank. You deserve a partner. That's why we designed our Power program to not only meet your financial needs, but also your non-financial ones, like practical know-how, savvy connections, and trustworthy resources. Whether it's our Power join-up sessions, online member directory, or private Facebook group, we are your community partner to help your business succeed and flourish. Because at Fidelity Bank, we are here for powerful business, and we are here for good. Find out more. Go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back. This is Mary Foley, and today I'm talking with Katie Crosby, Chairman of the Board of Fidelity Bank, all about how she became chair and what she's learned along the way. And already I am so inspired, Katie. I just really appreciate you opening up and being so real with us. And I've, of course, got some more questions. And my first one is, there just aren't a lot of women in banking at top leadership positions, particularly such as president and CEO or chair. What speed bumps did you encounter and how did you overcome?
You know, Mary, I was generally really welcomed into the banking community when I became board chair at Fidelity and even when I joined the board as a director. What I did find was the bankers are being men like to wear dark suits. And I always found it sort of fun to wear a suit that was a little bit more colorful. And so whenever I was going to a bank conference or a bank meeting where there were lots of bankers, I chose to sort of be the colorful suit in the room. I thought that was just a little bit fun and a little bit different.
I've got to ask you that real quick. What was your favorite color of suit? If it's not black or it's not gray, you know, navy, what did you typically like to wear?
You know, I had a sort of a soft corally pink colored suit that I loved. Mm-hmm. I don't have it anymore because I think I wore it out, but that's one of my favorites. Or red. Red is always a nice color to wear as well. Sort of that powerful color, I think. And of course, The power purple suit is absolutely perfect. But you know, what I tried to do as I entered into this predominantly male sector, I really tried to always be very prepared when I attended meetings. I really read the trade journals. I familiarized myself with issues impacting community banks, and I really pushed myself to be very knowledgeable in this area. And so as I attended meetings or spoke with other bankers at luncheons or conferences, I came prepared, and that was so important. I wanted to be accepted and respected as a peer rather than looked at differently because I was a female. I think that because I was a female, I brought a different perspective to the room, but I wanted to be heard for my voice and for that perspective. And I felt like the best way to do that was to really, really prepare myself and understand the industry and the business very well.
That kind of makes me think about this whole thing of confidence. You know, you have to have some confidence to be in that room, to have those conversations. And every woman in business I know wants to feel more confident. How did you increase your confidence, especially in such a big role?
Well, I think that is an evolving work in progress. I think I work on that confidence every day. And I think I challenge myself. The best way I've found to build up my confidence is to say yes to things that I don't feel so confident about. So whether it's speaking in front of a group, those various opportunities come up and my personality, my first response is to think, why do they think I'm going to be good at that? And then I take a deep breath and I think about it further and I say yes and challenge myself. And I find that every time I've done that, throughout my life, whether it's in a volunteer opportunity or work-related opportunity, that when I've said yes and I've come out on the other side of whatever that commitment is and have learned a tremendous amount, and I have absolutely certainly gained confidence. So the way I increase confidence is I try to push myself and I try to say yes to those opportunities that make me a little bit nervous and make me question whether I have the capabilities to step in front of the group or to speak on some certain topic.
You know, and I remember when we were talking some before we recorded this podcast, I asked you if you'd ever done a podcast and you said no. And you said that this was a little bit of a good challenge for you because it was slightly different than anything else you'd done
before. That's very true. But so far so good, Mary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and this is the thing I thought was really neat about that. You hadn't done it before, but you were willing to do it. You were willing to try. You were willing to stretch yourself. And it's so easy to think that someone like yourself who has already achieved so much that he or she, well, they're kind of cruising. But you're saying no, you're not. And that there's always something that you want to either learn to do or challenge yourself to do. Because what I'm also hearing is you decided that because that's to you where it's interesting and it's worthwhile.
You know, I chose to go back to school in my mid-40s. It had been a long time since I had taken any kind of test or exam. And the first hurdle to even applying to graduate business school was to take the GMAT. And that was very intimidating for me. And so I went out to the bookstore and picked up a copy of GMAT for Dummies and studied that and was able to score well enough that I went on to business school. And that was a fabulous experience. But once again, I mean, the idea of studying and writing papers and taking tests after being out of school for so long was daunting for me. And yet, after the 18 straight months of schoolwork, I was thrilled that I did it and really, really got so much out of the experience.
Yeah. Oh, I never liked exams either, but I'm very happy and proud of the fact that I got the degree. And that makes me think about all the nonprofit work also that you have done through the years. I mean, you're involved in quite a few nonprofit organizations, including the New Orleans Area Habitat for Humanity, LCMC Health, Children's Hospital in New Orleans, and there's more. But what drives you to be so involved in these nonprofits?
You know, I think it's important to give back to your community. I've always felt that way. I was actively involved in the Junior League of New Orleans as I was raising my kids. But I also think it's really important for those individuals that are deciding to be engaged in the community in a volunteer capacity to say yes to what you feel passionate about. I feel real passion for what the LCMC health system is doing in our community from a healthcare perspective. And Children's Hospital is one of the hospitals that falls within that system. They are really doing phenomenal things in treating all members of our community. They're addressing needs. The healthcare universe is fascinating to me, and it's very different from the banking universe that I live in. So I'm learning a tremendous amount that way. I also love Habitat for Humanity. It's complementary to the banking work that we do in the sense that it puts individuals into houses. Fidelity proudly works with Habitat and services all of the Habitat loans to their homeowners. But I just think it's so satisfying to be out on a Habitat build where you're working side by side with the future homeowner and hammering their house and building their house that they're going to live in. And they are so absolutely thrilled to have that opportunity. It's incredibly fulfilling to me.
Power is clearly something that is supporting the community. Why did you get behind Power or to decide as the chair and lead the charge to say, let's do the Power program?
Yes. The Power program has been a fabulous program for a bank. And I think the reason it's been so well received is it clearly met a need in this community. We focus on women entrepreneurs, women in business. We put together opportunities for women to connect with women in women-only forums. And those forums are powerful. They're less intimidating for women. Women generally are newer to business than their male counterparts. And sometimes it can be intimidating for women to ask questions in a big room full of men. And so we, through the Power program, we offer opportunities for women to get together, to discuss their challenges. And what we find is that women, these groups of women in all different industries support each other. They're providing each other with contacts, with names, with referrals. To be in those groups, in those meetings, and to really hear the enthusiasm and the support between the women has been tremendous. And I think what's interesting is, since we have developed the Power program, a number of other banks in the community have begun to offer programs geared to women. And, you know, I think imitation is the best form of flattery, as they say. And so we're delighted.
Right.
We're delighted that now there are these opportunities for women in business and women entrepreneurs to really just grow and shine and be featured and recognized for what they're doing.
Well, I give you all credit for the fact that you embraced it early And you have really you and Liz Brockman, who is the director, and I know all the support of the male leadership too, just everyone at Power, I'm sorry, at Power, yes, but I meant at Fidelity Bank for Power, truly is, you know, behind it, truly is a supporter of it, truly sees the impact that it's making. And so I just give kudos to the leadership, because if leadership is in any organization is not a true believer in some initiative, some goal, something to that they're trying to achieve, it won't happen, or it won't happen very well. And it's really clear some of the results that are already being created because of the leadership.
Yes, this program has 100% support from our leadership.
This is kind of a neat, powerful way to wrap up our conversation together. I can't believe it. We are out of time, but I do like to ask every single one of our guests, for those who want to learn more about you or to connect with you, what's the best way they can do that?
There are a couple of ways. The best way probably is to reach out to me by email. It's katiecrosby@bankwithfidelity.com. Or you can call Jerry Kisner, my executive assistant. Her number is 569-3444. And she can relay any messages to me. Email is the best way, but if you like phone calls, reach out to Jerry and I'll be happy to get back to you.
Well, that's generous of you. You're clearly the modern woman. Hey, just zip me an email. Boom. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Right directly to you. Love it. Thank you so much for your time and all of what you've shared, Katie. And thank you for your leadership.
When you meet the right person or gain the right knowledge you need right now for your business, feels like magic, doesn't it? These kind of magical moments happen every day for over 600 women who are members of our Power program. I know firsthand because as the director of Power, I talk to members every day and see the magic happen. I'm Liz Brockman and would be happy to talk with you too. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Whew, wow, that was fast. But we hope you are feeling re-energized to power up your business and go after your dreams. Make sure you stay recharged. Subscribe to the Power Plug podcast at fidelitybankpower.com so you can get the latest episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, keep believing in the power of you, just like we do.